As announced, the reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's good to be here with you. It's good to have another opportunity to stand before you and bring you a portion of God's Word. I always appreciate this opportunity and encourage everyone to follow along in your Bibles and to make sure that what I'm saying is from the Word of God. Hopefully this morning we'll all benefit from this study. And I just want to mention that it really was a good week last week. We had a good gospel meeting. Appreciate that. And so the Mayfields are moving to North Carolina, in case you didn't know that. I didn't ask them if I could say anything, but I just wanted to say a few words about them before we begin this morning. My wife and Elizabeth have known the Mayfields for about 18 years, and we've spent a lot of time with them and their children when they lived in Ohio, especially their daughter Rachel and her husband Shannon. In fact, they were both in our wedding, and we were both in their wedding a year later. During the time that we've known the Mayfields' kids and now their grandkids, we've gotten to know Ron and Nancy pretty well. And we've spent many hours over at their home and found out several things about them. And I'm sure all of you would agree that they're some of the most gracious, humble, meek, kind, and generous people you would know. Not to mention they're great connoisseurs of coffee. Honestly, years ago, when I was young, I used to think that coffee tasted like dirt. We were at the Mayfields' house once, and Miss Nancy made some coffee for us. And I'll tell you, that was the best cup of dirt I've ever had. Now I can't get up in the morning without a cup of coffee, so thanks for that. Obviously, I'm kidding, but honestly, they really have affected our lives in so many ways. Ron taught a college-age class in the back for several years, and I learned a lot from that class. And I learned a lot from him, and I don't think I'd be up here preaching to you today if we're not for him in that class. They're both always so encouraging, uplifting, and wonderful examples of what an elder and an elder's wife should be. They've served this congregation well for many years, and we've all benefited from them in so many ways. They're both wonderful examples of faithful Christians that we should all aspire to be like. We appreciate and love them, and we'll sorely miss them. God be with you till we meet again. So who wants to talk about happiness? The past week, Rennie talked about several of the topics I'm going to bring to you this morning, but in a different way, I'm going to present them, and hopefully we'll all be able to benefit from this study. And I want to ask you a question. Are you happy? Are you sure you're happy? Are you really truly happy? Are you happy most of the time? Or is it something that comes and goes? I mean, everyone has their bad days. But are you happy most of the time? Does it depend on the day, the week, the month, or the year? Everybody has a bad year. Everybody has a bad month, week. Everybody has bad days. And is our happiness dependent on other people? Do the people around us affect our happiness? Is that something they can dictate? Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Sometimes anxiousness can cause us to lose our happiness. Are you anxious? Do you worry about things constantly? Luke 10:38 says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" She was spending so much time worrying about how the house was and how everything was going to work out, and she was missing the big picture of why Jesus was there to teach them. Are you unhappy? Maybe you really are unhappy. It happens. Over in Luke chapter 8, we learn about the thorny ground. And we don't normally think about this, but are you on the thorny ground? Well, verse 14 says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." We think normally that this is someone who has fallen away from God and is no longer following Christ. But are you on thorny ground right now? Maybe you haven't left God yet, but this world may be choking out your faith. It's trying to pull you away, and it's pushing God away. A Christian can have happiness regardless of what happens in his life. You might ask yourself, how? How can we have happiness no matter what happens? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What is happiness? Well, it's essentially a state of mind or a state of being. And as Brother Fraser mentioned last Thursday, it's being joyful. Are we joyful? This morning we're going to look at three things that can make us happy. We're going to look at hope, contentment, and peace. So first of all, let's look at hope. Do you have hope? This is probably the main reason that we should be happy in our lives. Abraham had hope. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read a few verses there, so if you would turn with me. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." He had hope because he was looking forward to this. Do we look forward to things in our lives? Of course we do. We look forward to lunch in a little bit, probably. We look forward to retirement or a graduation or something of that nature. We all have things that we look forward to. And down in verse 13 in Hebrews 11, it says that they had hope for a better country. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Do you desire a better country? I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about a place that we can go and be comforted and not have to worry about the cares of this world. Are you looking forward to that? Do you have hope for that? Our faith should give us hope. Back up in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So it tells us here that by faith, we know that the universe was created by the word of God. How did that happen? Well, we don't know. We weren't there. We didn't see it happen. But we have faith that it happened because we see the results of that. We see the creation that God has made. And it happened the way God said it did. It didn't happen the way man thinks it did. The way man changes his mind about how it happened, it seemingly every year. Man thinks he knows what happened. But God knows, and we have to have faith in that. And our faith should give us hope. We should have hope for a better life in heaven. Over in Revelation 21, we can read of this better life. Who doesn't want a better life? Revelation 21:3 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." No more crying. No more death. No more pain. No more kidney stones. If you know what those are, you know what I'm talking about. Or childbirth. That's pretty painful. But everybody knows pain. Everybody knows that we endure pain in this life of some sort. Everybody cries from time to time. A lot of men don't cry on the outside. Sometimes we cry on the inside. Sometimes you hit your hand with that hammer that Ron was talking about, doing whatever it wants, and it's going to hurt. You might cry on the inside, sometimes on the outside. But things are going to be different. Things are going to be better. The former things have passed away. This life will be no more. That should give us hope. But you know what? Other people need that hope too. We need to tell them about that hope. We need to express to them the benefits of following God. So many people in this world live without hope. They have no hope in their lives. And some of them are looking for hope. They're trying to find hope. They feel helpless, searching for answers to why they're here on this earth. And it's our job to tell them. We're the ones who have to tell them. It's our job to spread the gospel. Do you ever, if you go to a workplace, or you meet with your friends somewhere, do you ever buy donuts for them? Just bring in a box of donuts. Everybody loves donuts, so everybody's pretty happy at that point. Or maybe buy something for a customer of yours or someone else to say thank you. We do those things, but why can't we give them the gift of hope? The next thing we're going to talk about is contentment. Do you have contentment? Do you know what that means? Well, it can mean that we should be happy with what we have. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Paul describes this very well about being content. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's pretty profound. Can we say the same thing? Can we say that we have learned in whatever situation in our lives to be content? In this country, we pretty much live like kings. We most of us rarely have want for anything. And if we do, there's a way to find it. I heard a statistic once that, and I'm not sure if this is 100% true, but it was on TV, so it has to be true. I think it was a documentary that said that 40% of all food in this country is disposed of or thrown out in some way. 40%. We know that we're probably the most wasteful country on this earth, but that's kind of ridiculous. The point is, though, that we have available to us anything that we would need. Well, how do you get those things? Well, a lot of times you have to pay for them. The next point here is, do you love money? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." We've all heard this verse, but do we really understand that money is a root of all kinds of evil? And some people crave it. Some people crave money. Our son Isaac is learning what coins and bills are. He's collecting money. He has no idea what it's worth yet. I kind of want to keep it that way. But he wants more. He wants more of it. He wanted a $20 bill. I told him no. He wanted a $50 bill. I told him absolutely not. He doesn't understand what money is worth. Do we understand what money is worth? Is it worth our soul? Well, what goes along with money and being content with our money? Do you constantly worry about your money? Do you constantly worry about bills? Are you always looking for a better job to make more money? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a job and trying to do your best in this life. We should do our best. And we should provide for our families. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If we're worrying about our money and our bills and all those kind of things, we have to do that sometimes. But there's a difference between planning for the future and worrying too much about it. And worrying about what we have and trying to get as many things as we can. Because once we get something, we usually want more of it, or we want something better. Maybe you have a rusty grill, and for Father's Day, you wanted a brand new grill. Can you get by with that old grill for another year? Yeah, probably. It says here that rust destroys. We know that. If you have a car in Northeast Ohio, you know that rust will destroy it. Thieves will break in and steal things, especially when times are tough. Has anyone ever stolen anything from you? How did you feel about that? Maybe it was a pencil at school. Not that big of a deal, but some people are very protective of those things. Maybe somebody stole something that was a little more significant. Our car was stolen once. It's probably one of the worst feelings I ever had, of helplessness. Couldn't do anything about it. But it really is just a car. They're just objects. They're all going to be gone someday. Are we content with what we have? Or do we always try and get more, something better? Hebrews 13:5 tells us that we have to be content. We must be content. It says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's about as plain as it gets. Do not love money and be content with what you have. You know, growing up, the big thing in the 80s and 90s is that you could be whatever you wanted to be when you grew up. You could do whatever you wanted to do. I really don't agree with that. It's really not true. I cannot be an astronaut because I don't like trigonometry. That's not going to happen. But the point is, don't waste your life following after money, following after that big paycheck. Follow God instead. The last thing we're going to talk about is peace. Do you have peace? This morning, I did not have peace because I was pretty nervous about coming up here. You know what I did? I prayed to God and I asked for peace. Do you have the peace of God? Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This sounds great, doesn't it? The peace of God, it surpasses our even comprehension. We can't really understand it even. But this peace is only for the faithful Christian. Are you a faithful Christian? A lot of people in this life are unhappy because they don't depend on God. They don't leave things to Him. Well, this all sounds great, but how do we have peace? How do we do that? Back up one verse in verse 6 of Philippians 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Prayer definitely helps. It can help more than you know. Maybe you do know how much it helps. Tell someone else about that. Tell someone else about how much prayer can help you. We understand that God knows everything. God knows what we need before we even know we need it. But He knows everything. And that's why He tells us to pray. So we can have peace. Because He knows that prayer will give us peace. Praying about our problems will give us peace. Praying that God will take care of it, leaving it in God's hands, will give us peace. Are we on our own? Down a few verses in Philippians 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." All things. We can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Maybe we already pray a lot. Maybe we do that. Maybe we pray about our problems and leave things to God. But what about the little problems? The things that kind of eat at us. The things that bother us. Those little things can build up and be enough to rob us of happiness. But we can do all things through Him. So the question is, are you happy? Are you happy on this earth? You might say, yes, I'm happy. But I'm busy, and I got a lot on my mind. A lot of things going on in my life. Who isn't busy? If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 starts out. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We're all busy. And we have to prioritize things in our life. Prioritize our time. Ron talked about that this morning. Making good use of our time. Because we only have so much time in the day. We have to pick something to spend it on. What are we spending our time on? What are we spending our days on? What are our priorities? Do we spend all of our time on physical things? On things of this world? Does that consume us and consume our time? Sure, we have to spend time mowing the grass. We have to spend time keeping up our house, keeping up our car, functioning in this life. We have to spend time on that. But is that all we spend our time on? Do we have time in our life for spiritual things? Do we set aside time and make it a priority to focus on spiritual things? Well, if not, what are we going to do on the judgment day when we're before God? What are we going to tell him? Well, I lived a busy life. I didn't have time to study the scriptures very much. I knew the basics, but I didn't have time to really study and understand them. I didn't have time to pray very often. I didn't have time to teach other people. Maybe I'm not very good at that. But are we spending any time at all teaching other people about God? Maybe we would say, you know what? I didn't have time on a Saturday to spend 45 minutes passing out cards to try and get people to come to church. I didn't have time to worship you, God, 3 times a week. I only had time in my schedule for one. Hopefully those will not be our excuses. Hopefully we will spend time in our lives on spiritual things, trying to be better, trying to renew ourselves. So we know that we're busy. But are the things of this world taking up our time and taking away our happiness? Are we unhappy because of this world? Because of the time we spend on this world? Maybe we're anxious and worry about things. How do we change that? How do we break that cycle? Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Sounds simple, but it may not be that easy. We're going to have to give things up. Maybe we've been a Christian for years, and we're still unhappy. There's things that we can change in our life, obviously. We have to seek the kingdom of God first. And then, after we seek the kingdom of God first, then all these things will be added to you. We won't have to worry about things anymore. We won't have to worry about the problems of this world, because we're putting God first. If you're a Christian and you're not happy, you really have no one to blame but yourself. But you can change it. You can come this morning, you can repent of your sins, and get your life right with God so that you can be happy again. If you're not a Christian, then unfortunately, you don't have hope. You don't have hope of eternal life. You probably don't have contentment either. And you're not going to have peace. But you can change that all this morning. You can change that right now by being baptized into Christ. So whatever your need may be, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.